Well, this evening we're going to be looking briefly at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Proverbs chapter 1, found on page 670 of your pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord and would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Well, as we are beginning this study through the book of Proverbs, we have been reminded of our need for wisdom. And this book of wisdom that here Solomon is writing and relaying the vast wisdom which God was pleased to give to him. We have been reminded that for many who are in the world, there is no desire for wisdom. Many operate within this life as if ignorance truly was bliss. They don't desire the truth of God. They don't hunger after His word, because they understand that to do so would bring a light to bear upon the darkness, the evil deeds that they themselves delight in. And they want nothing to do with that light being shown upon them. Well, tonight we're looking at this idea of our need to heed the teacher's voice. And the passage that we're looking at might be broken up into three sections. First, we see Christ put before us here as wisdom. Secondly, we'll be looking at the fool content in his folly. And thirdly, the Lord's wonderful promise to those who love Him and who heed His commands, that they shall be secure in the way of the teacher. And so as we begin this evening looking at this short passage of Scripture, as I mentioned, here we have wisdom put before us, this one who is crying out and pleading with people to be attentive to what she has to offer, is none other than that one whom we know to be the truth. It is Christ that is here set before us, and here who is described as wisdom. And certainly as we stop and we think about Christ's earthly ministry, this is what we saw in Christ. As he came and he proclaimed the truth of God's word, he went all about. He didn't hold himself hostage within the temple, but he went out into the world. He went out into the marketplace. He sat at the opening of the well in Samaria and visited with those that otherwise many other religious leaders would have overlooked and ignored, out of a great concern that they would be confronted by this wisdom, and out of a desire that they would seek to lay hold of it. We see the love of our Savior as it is here described as wisdom, crying out in the street and in the markets where she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. And you can hear the care and concern of our Savior as he puts this question before them. How long, people, will you be content to be simple and to be ignorant? How long will that simplicity be satisfying to you? How long will you love being simple? He shows his concern. We saw this in other places as Christ looked out over the people and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And how that struck his heart. We have that most easy to remember verse within the New Testament, don't we? A reminder of how our Lord was affected as he saw the pinnacle of God's creation, yet in their sin and folly, wandering aimlessly, such that Jesus wept. And here he cries out, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Perhaps if you stop and you think about this, you might realize that this is a motivating force, a temptation that we face that often keeps us from spending meaningful time within the Word of God. We don't want to go near the Word of God because we're afraid of what we will find. We're afraid that that light will be pointed upon those things that we hold near and dear, those sins that are comfortable. And we'll be left without excuse. Well, the reality is you're already without excuse. But we use that rationale as a comfort, don't we? To not want to delve deeper, to not want to spend that time in the Word, lest our sin be found out, and lest we have to change our behaviors, our speech, our thoughts, because we see them to be out of alignment with what God has commanded. You see, this isn't something that is afar off and doesn't strike close to home. These words of wisdom impact us as well. He speaks to us where we are. Now we see here that those scoffers that we've dealt with in our study of 2 Peter find expression here in this first chapter of Proverbs as well. And these who are described as scoffers are really the cheering section for the simple, encouraging them on in their simplicity, continuing on in their sin. These scoffers sit there and try to manipulate and encourage them that they will continue in this way. And so we are reminded here of the danger of that simplicity, but also those agents of our enemy who are at work and looking for nothing else than to see us grow more bold in our sin rather than sensitive to it and repulsed by it. They would have us continue in them. And yet, he holds out a promise. In verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, if you hear my cries in the street, in the marketplace, upon the noisy streets, in the city gates, and you turn, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. Brothers and sisters, the fact that they turn is an evidence of this one wisdom laying hold of them. Because in their sin, they would have no desire for it. They would continue to rebel against it. They would continue in their war against the things of God. But here he says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. And we read that passage from John 14. Because John 14 also further expands upon this, gives even greater clarification of that helper that is here intended by Christ. That Spirit of God will be given to those who love and heed his commands. And instead of simplicity, and simplicity might otherwise be described here as folly, instead of folly, Christ would have wisdom arise within us, knowledge built up within us, a right understanding cultivated within us, so that his word now makes sense. The benefits of his word now are understood and become a joy for us rather than a threat as we viewed it in our sin, a threat to living my life my way, or pursuing the desires of my heart rather than the desires of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he holds out that promise that if you will but turn, if you will heed his commands, he offers you a helper, an aid, a teacher, to grow in your understanding. Then he moves on to a more lengthy section. In verse 22 and 24 through 32, we look at the fool, content in their folly. Here we have spoken of how Christ demonstrates his yearning after the pinnacle of his creation, of man. That he goes to such great lengths to cry out and to pour forth this wisdom. And yet, we're reminded of the condition of our hearts in sin, apart from Christ. He says in verse 24, because I have called, you have refused to listen. I have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. All of these things Christ did. As you read the Gospels and you read the accounts of Christ's ministry here on the earth, not only of the things that he taught, but the great miracles that he carried out. And yet we see time and time again how absolutely blind and dumb are those who are not yet enlivened by Him. So steeped in their sin, so focused upon it, that no matter the greatness of those signs, they go unheeded, unrespected. And even the accusations are made against Christ that He is doing the work of the devil in those miracles that He carries out. You've ignored all my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes down like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. You can hear the psalmist in Psalm 2. As the one who sits on his throne on high laughs at the feeble efforts of man to make war against God. And here is wisdom. Here is Christ, reminding us again of His sovereignty and His authority, His strength and His power. As He says to those who will not heed, those who will not take note of His warnings, that a time is coming when He will not respond and He will not be found. And this is an important reminder for any who are here who have not yet made a profession of faith in Christ. Don't put it off. Don't trust in tomorrow. But if He calls, and you hear His call, heed His call today. Don't trust in tomorrow. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way. Again, this serves as a reminder of what is the fruit of sin. The fruit of sin will beget the same kind of fruit. Those who yearn after their sinful aims face utter destruction. It doesn't bring any rewards. It doesn't bring anything even resembling remotely peace. It brings calamity and chaos. And many of you have seen this in the lives of those whom God has brought across your path who are not walking with the Lord. And their lives are chaos. They're confused. They have no confidence in anything. They feign confidence in their own wisdom. But everything they set their hand to fails miserably. It falls apart. It has no lasting value. And Christ here is reminding us, even us who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, that this is an important reminder, lest we be tempted to return or engage in a season of sin. It brings no benefits. It brings no peace. Therefore, their end shall, they shall eat the fruit of their way, and they shall have the fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Here we see the simple described as those who flit and pursue after the desires of their heart and their ignorance, not understanding the danger, not understanding the precipice that is before them, and they run like lemmings over the end in their ignorance and folly. But there's another type of error that is described here, and that is the complacency of fools. Those who do nothing. Those who love their sin more, even when confronted with the warnings of the gospel of Christ, they face utter destruction. But he doesn't leave us on that note. At the end of our passage today in verse 33, he reminds us again of the wonderful place that is ours with him as we heed the word of the Lord, as we heed the teacher. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Does that sound familiar? We had a similar promise given to us this morning, didn't we, in 2 Peter? This is another one of those opportunities which God has afforded us even today to be reminded of the unchangeable nature of God's word, that those same promises that we heard that were uttered by Peter under inspiration of the Spirit in 2 Peter chapter 3 have always been the promise of God. That those who heed his word will dwell secure. Will know a peace that is foreign to the world and its sin. And will rest at ease. Now we know from our study of 2 Peter and of 1 Peter, this doesn't mean that our life will not be challenging. It doesn't mean that there won't be persecution and trials. It doesn't mean that there won't be false teachers that arise and seek to lead us astray. But we may be confident as we lean upon the words of Christ that he will guide and direct us, he will protect us, he will ensure that even in the midst of those difficulties, we remain at peace. And when we contemplate what our life was in sin and what it now is in Christ, we can, to a man, woman, and child, give assent to the fact that our life is today ease in comparison to what it was in sin. And though these difficulties may arise, he also says that we may also be without dread of disaster. May this be our peace as God is pleased to speak to us from his word, as his Holy Spirit works within us and gives us ever greater understanding as we give ourselves to his word, that we will know his peace and that rest which is found only in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you that Christ came and has proclaimed wisdom and truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you went to such great lengths to provide a means of salvation through Christ for a people that was sinful and disobedient, stubborn and rebellious. That you, Lord, weren't content to allow us to continue on in our folly, to our peril. But you were pleased to reach out your mighty hand and through Christ to deliver us from that imminent destruction, and to plant our feet firmly upon that great rock, Jesus Christ. Lord, if we are struggling today in our study of your word, Lord, rather than abandon the study, may you be pleased to cause us to cry out to you for help and for wisdom, confidently knowing that you grant freely to all who ask without finding fault. And Lord, the wisdom we desire is your wisdom. We wish, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might serve you rightly, that we might go forth as your ambassadors and speak with courage and confidence rightly of that one whom we love and that which he has accomplished. Lord, we pray that you would give us new eyes and ears and minds to see and hear and understand those things that are going on around us, that we might bring your word to bear as we see needs in the lives of our friends and neighbors, family members, co-workers, and others that you put across our path. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would go before us, not only to give us understanding, but Lord, to prepare hearts and minds that when confronted with these truths, would be made able by you to hear and respond. For we pray these things in that name that is above all names, that of Jesus Christ. Amen.